Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this evening. I'm looking at that clock, and I think I can see it's 7:15. And I'm always, the Navajos always ask me, say, how come you're always looking at your watch? I said, we go by the sun. We don't go by the watch. So I lost my watch, or it gave out. So anyway, couple of hours we'll be finished. By way of announcement also, we just started back our Arnold Towers class on Thursday nights, 6:00. So it's people who can't get out and go like other folks can necessarily. Some are still driving. One guy, he's 85, 6, 7, or somewhere along there. He's still driving. He goes, his wife passed away recently, so they don't really have anybody that's interested in their life much. I was talking to a guy today, and he said, my dad was talking about going over there and living over there. He lives in Junction City, and he said, no, you don't want to, as long as you can have your own place and get around, that would be better, and I agree to that. He's one of the guys that received one of our baskets for Thanksgiving, and his son came over to where I was working and thanked me for bringing his dad that basket. Said he didn't know how to cook the ham, so he brought it to him to cook do the cooking part. But anyway, had a good visit with them. Also, lady over here in the apartments, she is very appreciative. I think we'd passed out, three baskets. One in Stanford, one in Junction, one over here. So anyway, she was very appreciative of that. So, guy in Stanford, fella that's on in years by himself, wife gone. So he was very glad to get one of those. So that's a good thing. You know, then I walked on down the street from where the lady, she invited me in, and she had company, and there was another lady there, and they were talking, and the lady that received the basket had fell and broke her arm at Kroger's Monday after she received the basket, and she's having a hard time with that. But anyway, she was very thankful for what we've done for her. But, you know, I walked on down the street and I asked a guy about a place that I noticed no one had been in and out of there in a long time. So I asked him about it, and he got very sarcastic with me about it. And but you hit a one like that ever so often, so you just take it and go on and say, thank you, sir, that kind of thing. Brother Jones, what time is he having surgery? Anybody know? Is he having surgery tomorrow? He is in the morning? You know what time? Noon. Okay, so he was doing good, then he had a setback, I guess, so then our pastor, I think we need to, his family's got a heavy load right now, and uh, from pastor and missionary and seeing everybody else's ins and outs and ups and downs. The songwriter asked the question, does Jesus care? Yeah, I think he does. So let's just stop a minute and pray for our pastor and his family and little Josie, and pray that God would just work a miracle. I know he's a miracle worker. Our Father, we thank you this evening. Be able to come. David said, I was envious at the wicked until I went into the sanctuary of God. We're glad we can come with our thanksgivings, our burdens, our problems, our ups and downs in life. We know that you're the all-sufficient one. We know that you can do all things. We know that you can work miracles, raise the dead, cause the blind to see, lame to walk. We also know that you said you care for us. You come to our station in life. So I pray that you'd be real to the pastor and his family, Allison, little Josie, and the boys. Help them in their time, going through this time. Help them to know that the Lord Jesus is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. So we pray a special prayer for them this evening. Give them peace and hope and rest in all your provisions, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, for our thoughts this evening. Here I see that when Jesus came in these verses, 35 through 38, all of us are familiar with these verses. You know, sometimes we like to dig down deep into the meat of the Word of God, and we like to try to figure out all the ramifications that it holds, and we try to be smarter maybe than somebody else and that kind of stuff. But then I found that just stop a minute, and all of that's good. But how did Jesus do it? What did he do? Where did he go? How did he do it? What did he say? One day I wrote down a paper. I write to myself a lot. I write myself a lot of letters. I don't get any through the mail much, so I write myself a lot. And all the places where Jesus said, I am. I am. I am the way. I am the water. I am the bread. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. And that's just a few. Here, verse 35 of Matthew 9, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. He was able to go in to the Jewish synagogues. I notice it says teaching before it said preaching. Didn't you notice that? Somebody said, well, we need strong preaching, and we do, and we get it and all that, and I understand all that. But might be well just do like Jesus did once in a while and just teach and then preach maybe. Sometimes we turn it around one way or the other, so I guess that's the way he done it here, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all sickness and every disease among the people. So I see that he was teaching, he was preaching, he saw the multitudes, He had compassion. He saw the condition of people. He saw the harvest. That's just a few things, you know, that I see sticking out there at me. And we could spend several hours on that, but I'm sure you wouldn't want to stay that long. But we'll look at some thoughts here. He said he was and healing every. I read that again this afternoon. I sat down and I had a message I was going to preach from Hebrews, and I said, I'm going to read something in Matthew first, and turned over here. I read this, and I said, I'm forgetting Hebrews, so now I'm going to talk about this. We have all kinds of sickness, disease, health problems, you name it. You know, especially when you get on in years, and sometimes things don't work like it used to, and I know about all that. I'm getting re-educated again. I'm not 25 anymore, 35 or 45 or 55. I'm beyond that. And so you just have to deal with it and go on. Sometimes you're just going to get sick. Sometimes you're going to have all kinds of physical problems. And we've been, think of all the people in this church that's been through all these kind of problems. And thank God for people who know what they're talking about, good doctors and all that, and know what to do. And the list would go on, you know. I don't like to be sick. I don't like to be in the hospital. Neither do you. Neither does anyone else. But like little Josie and Brother Jones that we were praying for, we have to believe that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. There was no case too hard for Him. I never find a case in this book anywhere that was too hard for Jesus. And I thought about this the other morning. Greg was teaching our Sunday school lesson there in Genesis 37 about a prophecy concerning Him. It says, and they stripped Him. And the Gospel, 27th chapter, said in Matthew's, and they mocked Him, and they spit on Him, and they cast stones at Him, and they buffeted Him, and they crucified Him. All of those things I see in the Joseph picture foretelling the prophecy that Christ would come, whom Joseph was a type. And so every kind of sickness and disease among the people. Sometimes we're careful not to spread diseases, and we should be. But, you know, I read another case where concerning leprosy, the leper is wanting to be made well, wanting to be made whole again, wanting to be like everybody else, and he believed that Jesus could do that, and we must believe that He can do that. And I noticed that He touched the man that no one else was able to do without catching the disease. But He did. So I see that He can touch our infirmities. He can touch our illnesses. He can touch our problem. You know, our sicknesses and our diseases, seem like I could pray pretty good in the emergency room in the IC unit. You ever notice that? That's a different setting. That's different. Everything there is different. Oh, God. Would You help me? All kinds of sickness and diseases. But when He saw the multitude, verse 36, He was moved with compassion on them, and noticed them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. As we look about us today, what do we see? Here Jesus saw the multitudes. Multitudes, the old prophet said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. We live in a time and in a age and in a society. We read the papers, we watch TV, and we not good to watch it right now of all the stuff that's going on. I just get sick of all that mess. But when you travel around and see the city, what's going on, the expansions, the businesses, new businesses, and that's good. But then you see all the bad side of it that brings in millions of dollars that I don't want to get on the liquor industry, but I could. Real hard. And real I won't go there. But I should. Pulpits are silent. No preachers with a fire in their belly against it like people of yesteryear, as they say back in the day, who closed those places down, preached against it, and that wrecks and ruins people's lives and all of that kind of stuff. But he saw the multitudes. It moved him to do something about it and caused him to say that he saw them as sheep scattered abroad having no shepherd. If you've ever been in sheep country and see and watch the shepherd bring the sheep in and out, and sometimes they don't have the... If the shepherd has to go to town, he has to leave them with somebody else, and that somebody else sold part of them while he's gone, scattered the rest of them, couldn't find them when he got back, that kind of stuff. People are that way. I said to a man just today, he named all the churches he went to, he used to go to, and quite a few, but he won't go to any now. And so, you know, that kind of thing. So he gets out to deal with it and go to somebody else. I asked a fellow the other day, I said, "Where do you go to church?" He looked at me and said, "None of your business." "All right. Thank you, sir." Went on. No need of wasting your time with him. Just go on and visit somebody else. So he saw them as scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. And so, do we see anybody like that? Do we see it, people just here, yon, everywhere, doing everything, and all that stuff? Yes, we should anyway. All you have to do is walk out that door and look around a little bit, and think if you went to one of the mission fields and followed the missionary around for a month or two, you'd see a lot of stuff. But you see it here, you know. It's everywhere. It's epidemic. What's the answer? Jesus is the answer. Then said he unto his disciples, he told them, I understand this to be the 12. He told them, he said, the harvest truly is plenteous. We got a bumper crop, but the problem is not enough workers, laborers, a few. He said, it was true then, it's true now. Laborers are still few. The harvest gets bigger every day. You know, population, more people wanting in this country than wanting out, so we got a influx of people coming from everywhere, of every race, color, kindred, tongue, and all that. The mission fields are coming to us. What are we going to do? Are we going to see it as the Lord said here? He saw the condition. What was the condition? The condition was the harvest was big, but the laborers were few. So if you've ever worked in the fields and herding sheep, cattle, and that kind of thing, you could ask Brother Tex. He's the cattle man. He'd tell you it's hard work, you know. And so to labor, would you go work in the vineyard today? They ask. Jesus asked in another setting here. Right away, we want to know how much it pays. What kind of benefits do we have? Well, I can't answer all that. I just know if I'm working for the Lord, He's been better to me than I have to Him. He's took care of me when I didn't think things wasn't looking too good. But He always comes through, and He's always there. In one of the old prophet names, it means Jehovah Shammah. He is there. He was there when I was sick. He was there when I was broke. He was there when I was hungry. He was there when I was tired and wore out. He was there when I was trying to get through school. He was there when I was trying to get a job. He was there when I was starting a family. He was there when I tried to raise my family. He was there. He was there when other people cut out on me. He was there. We sang the song, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." So He saw the harvest. I was driving down the road over here the other day, and I saw a cornfield over by Junction City on Airport Road, and all the corn was still in the field. I said, I wonder why no one's come and gathered the corn. Way past time, but it's still there. Maybe His workers are few. I don't know. But we were always taught, don't leave your crops in the field. Get them in the barn. Get them gathered. Bring them in. Store it for the winter that's coming, that kind of stuff. So then He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers. You know, we try to get missionaries, and I think we should, and I'm glad we can. Missionary families, I think, I often say this, I think every church ought to be a sending church. By that I mean, we ought to send missionaries out of this church, or any church, any local church should do that, and sends to wherever they're called of God to go to. And I'm glad we do that, and I'm glad we can do that, and I'm glad there's people who are willing to go. It takes people willing to go, people willing to send, people willing to pray, people willing to give. Takes all of it working together. So He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers. It's Him that's sending. We're the ones that should be willing to go. He's willing to send. I think a lot of times when a missionary is trying to get in churches, get his support, you can read them on the board, the mission letters, and get support to get to the field where he's going, and have a part in helping one individual. Or we as a church can't go to all the places, but we can go to some of the places through our missionary endeavors and the people we support and send and help send. And so, I see that as it's the Lord sending. He calls. He sends. He provides. Sometimes, a missionary on deputation, trying to raise support, one night I was standing. We had finished service somewhere in around Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was trying to raise support. And the pastor said, why do you think that we should support you? I said, the only reason I would know is because Jesus said to me. So that's about all I know. I said, I'm going. And it says, my understanding that the church is supposed to send the missionaries and support them. And, but I appreciate you listening to me and letting me preach anyway. But you know, he wound up supporting me. So, of course, some pastors, he had to call ahead and get all the specifications and pros and cons on me, all that kind of stuff. But that's okay. So, as the Lord sends, as the Lord provides, working in the harvest field, you know, you never know who's going to trust the Lord, who's going to go to the mission field, who's going to become a great pastor, who's going to do all of that if we don't do our part and if we don't do what we're supposed to do with the time and opportunity that we have to do it. So I just saw these thoughts as a challenge to myself, and hope so to you. Now, with all that said, I think, you know, I'm guilty of this. I'll just wait, and I got all this stuff I need to do, and maybe he wouldn't be home anyway. I got a whole list of excuses, you know, but it's really are not the excuses, it's just for me going visiting somebody and say, would you come be in our class, would you come Sunday? And that kind of thing. And have you ever trusted the Lord? You know, that's the harvest. That's I'm privileged to be able to do that. I'd rather be doing that as not be able to do that, wouldn't you? So I trust these verses. I know they're familiar to about everybody in here and all that, but it's a new challenge to me. Somebody asked one time, and the old preacher said he didn't understand a lot of stuff in the Bible, about the Bible, and it's too hard for him to understand the hard verses. And the answer was, the pastor didn't understand either, the ones that he couldn't understand fully, but he said the ones that he did understand is one that bothered him because he never got all of them done. So all of us know enough to go tell somebody what Jesus has done for us, and we can do that. All right, you have a message. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for each one who's come this evening. Pray that you'd meet our needs the rest of the week. Pray for these on our list, especially the pastor and his family, Brother Jones, and then others, I'm sure, who have doctor's appointments and all of that, and problems that only you can take care of. Then for our missionary families, we pray for them. Supply their need according to your will, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.